There's some good expressions, Hungarian expressions, that I learned from my teacher today. One of them is someone who sort of eavesdrops or listens to someone else's conversation. It's said that he sharpens his ears. And another one is if there's too much salt in the cooking or preparation, then the expression is that the cook is in love. I thought that was pretty good. Furthermore, I'm short on questions. In fact, I don't have any questions on my question list to be answered, so devotees have any themes or specific questions, please send them in. Today, I've been having relatively short classes because teacher has been arriving at 8:45 because he has to go to the dentist every day. So I have to finish class by 8 so I can do puja and be cleaned up before he arrives. One thing is that he's very punctual. Comes punctually, leaves punctually, and has a very nicely prepared agenda from different books of what we're going to study or read or questions I'm meant to ask. Anyhow, today's class we're speaking about Krishna's inconceivable potencies and his greatness. The reference was in regards to how Bhumi Devi, Mother Earth, transformed herself into a cow when she saw that Prithu Maharaj had picked up his bow and arrow and was aiming it at her. The idea being is that no one is supposed to harm a cow, and therefore Prithu Maharaj wouldn't hurt her. But still, he was determined to punish her, so he didn't put down his weapons but continued to pursue her wherever she went. Anyhow, Srila Prabhupada points out that because all forms of life ultimately come from the earth, therefore Mother Earth can assume any form, and that's how she assumed the form of a cow. This concept of taking on another form is another one of these things that's really inconceivable to the modern mind. People can't conceive how you can just transform shapes, although nowadays in movies they have all kinds of special effects, computer generated special effects, where by computer programs they can transfer one creature transforms to become another creature. In fact, I was remembering how in Snow White, the beginning of Snow White, is how this black crow is flying around in the forest, and then the black crow turns into the black queen, the evil queen. Of course, the evil witch, by that I mean. So even there's this concept of a living entity who one can transform into another. But then once again, because we don't have experience of such things, therefore it seems to be inconceivable. And it is inconceivable. But inconceivable doesn't mean impossible. Inconceivable means we can't do it, we can't think of it, we haven't seen it. But that doesn't mean that someone else hasn't seen it, hasn't done it, or isn't able to do it. And here we have an example of how the personification of the earth is able to simultaneously maintain her external form, her energetic expansion as this planet, and simultaneously her own personal form becomes transformed into that of a cow. This transformation of form is something that happens on numerous occasions. Indra transforms himself into a Brahmin when he comes asking Karna for weapons. Sages curse people to transform into some other creature. Marichi took the form of a golden deer. Ravana transformed himself also into a mendicant. Indra transformed himself into a crow, and he attacked Mother Sita. So this concept of transformation of form is extremely common in Vedic culture. And once again, we get back to the same interpretation that modern readers, empiric readers, make of Vedic literature, that because such a thing isn't seen to the naked eye of residents of Kali Yuga, therefore they just dispense with all of Srimad Bhagavatam, Ramayana, Mahabharata, so many other literatures as just being mythology. And whereas we do see some type of transformation within this world, like butterflies manifesting from larvae, a cocoon, or a worm, and there are also fish, I forget the name of the fish, that has is born with two eyes, and the one of the eyes gradually migrates in the body and just becomes one eye. We have the example of certain animals that are there's only one sex species, there's only one type of animal which possesses both sexes, both male and the female. There are so many exceptional things that we even see within this world, but this type of transformation as described in Shastra we don't see. But if we accept Janmadhyaya Sajataha, that the absolute truth is that from which everything emanates, and if God is the creator of all species of life, and he can enable living entities to take all types of forms, in other words, that they can accept an individual body, then he can also take any form. And the fact that he can transform from one form to another is just another concept of the transmigration of the body. It means that rather than taking a different body, one life after the other life, in the same life you take one form, multiple forms, many, many forms, forms at will. Yogis do it by material prowess. Krishna does it by his own spiritual power, or achintya shakti. And Srila Prabhupada then emphasizes that a Vaishnava has to have the faith in this inconceivable potency of the Lord in order to really understand him, in order to appreciate him, in order to understand how great actually the Lord is. The concept of mutation of one form or another, or transformation of one form or another, is not even as difficult to understand, for instance, is the concept that Brahma Samhita describes, that Krishna is both within everything and everything is within him. The idea of an absolute truth or God means just that. It means that he has to be the smallest common denominator, or that which makes up everything, but simultaneously everything is also present within him. That's a extraordinary conception, that he's both within the atom, and yet all atoms, all planets, all universes are also present within him. It appears to be a contradiction of terms, but contradiction just establishes what our own limited perception of reality is. Contradiction means where our mind and intelligence breaks down, and it's the limits of our own conditioned nature. But because he's the absolute truth, there are no contradictions for him. Why? Because he's unlimited. And his potencies are also inconceivable. So he has parasya shakti vividhaya shvete. He has unlimited potencies. His potencies are inconceivable to ordinary living entities. And those potencies allow him to take on the form of a boar, of a fish, of a half lion and half man. And he can change form at will, just like to the cowherd boys when they challenged that Krishna prove that he was Vishnu, then he manifests his forearm form. And Lord Brahma even saw that all the cowherd boys and the calves had forearms because they were all expansions of Krishna. And not only he can do it, but he can also empower others to do it. He can empower other living entities directly with his spiritual potency, or he can empower them with the shadow of that spiritual potency, which is give them the material prowess, whereby in some limited way they can, like the yogis, expand themselves into multiple forms, or transform themselves from one into another. That's how Pandu got cursed. He saw a stag and a deer in a forest mating, but actually it was a Brahmin and his wife who just adopted that form. They had that potency as a result of their purity and their austerities. So, Achintya Shakti, inconceivable potency, not only is inconceivable potency present in the Lord, but to some degree or another, every living entity has some very extraordinary potency, as is there within the cow, who can transform grass into milk. For us, that's inconceivable. We can't do it, neither can the scientists do it, but the cow can do it. Why? Because Krishna can do it, and Krishna has empowered her with that particular prowess. So appreciating the presence of this yad yad vibhuti mat svatam shimat urjitva evava, appreciating the presence of Krishna's prowess and potency within material things, within living entities, within human beings or demigods within this world, allows us to actually appreciate them within him. And the more that we appreciate Krishna's direct and indirect display of power, the more that we increase our devotion to him, and the more our devotion increases to him, the more we become actually qualified to love him. And when we love him, then we can appreciate his form and his pastimes.